Wisconsin currently exempts a number of services from the sales tax, from lawyer's fees to haircuts. Should these exemptions be eliminated? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, December the 10th. We'll welcome your questions and views on the proposals to extend the state's sales tax to some services to help fix the state's massive budget crunch. The state's projected deficit is an estimated $5.4 billion. Our first guest this morning says it's time to reconsider some of the exemptions given to non-necessities, or at least the tax breaks that don't make life or death differences. He is Democratic State Senator Bob Jauch of Poplar, who says continue the exemptions for food and health-related items, but consider applying the 5% sales tax to everything else. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. It's a pleasure to speak with you this morning.
Yeah, thanks very much for joining us. So why are you proposing this possibility?
Well, let me read, as you stated, the extent of the economic crisis, which has been as severe or the most severe crisis since the Great Depression. I'm not clamoring to raise taxes, but as a state, we're struggling to completely understand the depth of this crisis. And it is necessary for us to be as honest as possible, to engage in a public dialogue in meeting the state's obligations that are going to be required throughout this this crisis. I think it's premature to discuss the taxation alternatives, but necessary because we don't really currently understand the extent of the deficit. Whether it's a $5.4 billion or a $4.5 billion, it is a big number.
Right.
It is the worst economic downturn, and they're going to be extremely painful choices. I reach the conclusion that it is going to be inevitable that when the public realizes the extent of the budget reductions, that it will be so deep, so damaging to our quality of life, that as objectionable as tax increases may be, those draconian spending cuts are going to even be more unacceptable. So therefore, I'm stating what I think is an inevitability. Once people understand the scope of this huge, huge budget crisis. And therefore, we have to look to several choices of revenues to help meet our state obligations. And there are only a few that the state legislature has. You could raise sales tax or corporate personal income taxes or corporate taxes, and you can raise fees. You can rely some on federal revenues, and we will. You can eliminate tax, and you can look at tax inequities, particularly those where corporations are using legitimate and illegitimate tax procedures to avoid paying their fair share, or you expand the tax base by looking at tax exemptions. And there are hundreds of millions of tax exemptions. Arguably, some are very valuable. Some are very hard to justify. There needs to be a complete public discussion about those sharing the responsibility in paying for government services in these difficult times.
Yeah, give us an example of some of the sales tax exemptions that might be hard to justify.
Well, you know, here's, and I will be glad to answer that question, but let me say that each one of these tax exemptions has been, while some do serve a valuable public purpose, many of them have been adopted simply to serve the self-interest of a particular interest group. And they are inherently unfair or unjustified. But let me identify a few that are questionable, but suggest in identifying them that I've suggested we look without food medicine, do across the board, and not eliminate them all, by the way, but I believe that revenue increases are going to be necessary for a period of a year or two, perhaps tax a percentage of these exemptions, not 100% tax, but tax a percentage of them, because I think the state's going to have to raise a substantial amount that they can't raise with income taxes or sales taxes. But in response to your question, clay pigeons, small item, But what is the significance there? Cloth diapers and diaper services, but you pay for disposable diapers. Gun club membership, semen for livestock breeding, poodle grooming. Those are motion picture and TV film and advertising materials sold, leased, or rented to movie theaters. These are the kinds of things that have been put in there, and they really, while have some merit to some think they're good public policy, we really need to have a thorough discussion on whether or not it's serving a justified purpose in having a fair taxation system.
Wait a minute, Senator Jelk. Did you say we don't put a sales tax on bull semen?
No, we don't. In this whole debate, I think when people begin to look at the kinds of exemptions, they begin to ask themselves this basic question. I have made a statement. I don't like paying taxes, but I particularly don't like it when I'm paying my taxes, and I find ways that certain people have found a way to avoid paying their taxes too. And so it's a basic issue of tax equity. And when you look at inequities, our system of taxation, it must be fair, it must be equitable, it must be efficient if it's going to be vital to our economic success. And these exemptions that have been carved out simply mean that certain people are no longer paying it, which passes a burden on to those who are.
We are talking with State Senator Bob Jelk, a Democrat from Poplar, about his idea to reconsider some of the state's sales tax exemptions. We'll consider all of them, but perhaps extend the 5% sales tax to some services that are currently exempted from it. Don't tax food or medicine, but consider applying the sales tax to everything else. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us on this Wednesday, December the 10th. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. Individuals can influence and reform American public education, according to Ben's guest after 5 today. Ben and his guest will talk about 5 education visionaries and their efforts to improve the quality of U.S. public schools. That's At Issue with Ben Marins after 5 this afternoon. We are talking about the idea of eliminating some of the state sales tax exemptions in Wisconsin to help bring in revenue to pay for state services, to help the state deal with its current fiscal crisis. Currently, we don't pay a sales tax on many services like haircuts and other things. Should we? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest lawmaker, State Senator Bob Jelk of Poplar, says the idea needs to be considered. We will hear from a business group spokesperson after 6:30 who says this is not the time to be considering raising taxes on people or businesses. And let me ask you about that, Senator Jelk. Not only Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, but Wisconsin Independent Business Group and some other small business groups are saying that this is unthinkable to talk about expanding the sales tax base during such a deep recession, that this is going to hurt more than it's going to help. What's your reaction to that general criticism?
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I think we need a really open dialogue about just how difficult the times are and how important it is to make us make different kinds of public decisions. You know, I think it is, during these times of crisis, an urgent need that we simply have to summon the political courage to dismiss what is popular, ignore what is political, and pursue solutions that citizens come to admire and appreciate. I'm glad that I'm followed by the speaker from WMC, because I would like to remind him that in 1983, when I came into the legislature, it was a very troubled economy, that the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce supported huge tax increases on businesses in order to, combined with very painful benefit cuts, balance the unemployment compensation deficit, which was then $750 million a day, or $750 million, worsening to the tune of $1 million a day. So the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce recognized that it was the only way, a combination of benefit cuts, spending cuts, and tax increases that would get that would pay pay for the get the problem out of the way, solve the problem. In addition, let me point out that business organizations like WIB, which predictably opposed the review of the tax exemptions, also publicly acknowledged a willingness to support other kinds of broadly tax bases. I thought that was a very interesting statement, that they said, we're willing to consider other tax increases because they recognize, as I stated earlier, inevitability. Anyone who suggests, and I would hope your following speaker does not take the position that this can be done simply by cutting spending, because I'll point out that you could cut corrections and the higher education budget and you'd still have a state deficit.
Yeah. You know, I do believe that our guest will say that WMC is not dead set against any and all possible broad tax increases. But they're not wild about the idea of lifting the sales tax exemption, because that would it would raise costs for consumers and for businesses and hurt the economy at a tough time.
If in fact, you know, I'm encouraged that that would be their position, because they're now saying, look, tax increases are going to be necessary. You know what a sin it is to talk about taxes as a public official, and for years it's been a four-letter word. Fees somehow have been not. There's still the same impact on people. The last budget had $500 million in transportation fee increases, and many proclaimed that there were no tax increases. We are going to need more revenues in order to balance this budget and protect our economic needs. We do not have the capacity as a state or local government to declare Chapter 11. We cannot shut our doors. Firefighters only aren't going to respond Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and police only show up on weekends to crime. We have a 7-day-a-week, 24-day-hour obligation to meet the needs of our citizens, and many of these cuts are going to – services are going to be cut. Cuts are going to be deep. I happen to believe that we need this thorough evaluation on these exemptions, because many of them have been carved out simply to get a tax break because people didn't want to pay their responsible share.
Yeah, let me get a couple of callers in for you before news time. Cynthia in Marshall is with us. Hi, Cynthia. You're on the air.
Good morning. I am wondering what the estimated revenue would be if they had to pay the taxes. The organizations or individuals would have to pay the taxes that is being proposed. And is there a list of these organizations that aren't paying taxes that's available to the public? And I'll take my answer off here.
The I don't have the total number. It's over $1.5 billion. It may be close to $2 billion. I may even think it's higher than that in terms of total tax exemptions. And I want to put into context on that if you apply the tax exemptions, you would have enough money to turn around and begin to lower the property tax relief as well as property tax obligations, as well as meeting our responsibilities to schools and local governments. 60% of the state money goes back to local government. So if that money isn't paid, we're going to have to cut those programs, which means the property taxes go up. In response to your question, contact my office if you would, and I will be glad to provide you with a list of the tax exemptions. I don't have the website at my fingertips.
Yeah,
I
don't have a list of everything, but I mean, it is. It's just, it's for the most part, it's lots of, generally, it's services like going to the beauty salon or the barber or even lawyer's fees or lots of services don't have the sales tax. We don't pay a sales tax for those services.
Right.
And you're saying let's take a look at doing that.
Absolutely, because first of all, it is perennial. Every year, legislators talk about the need to evaluate it. In the last campaign, I know that there were Republican incumbents who suggested that we close corporate loopholes and eliminate sales tax exemptions. The Wisconsin Counties Association has long argued for a proposal to eliminate the exemption on $750 million of these. Many states that have a lower sales tax than Wisconsin don't provide nearly as many exemptions because they make up the money elsewhere. And so the bottom line is this money's going to have to come from somewhere. And if we don't all share equally in our responsibility, as painful as taxes are, then we are simply passing the burden on to another group of citizens who are more disproportionately affected.
Another caller for you is Dorothy in Brookfield. Hi, Dorothy. You're on the air.
Hi. I was calling with a comment as a person who's out of work now and, you know, no income per se. But to me, it seems like the more luxurious the service or goods, the higher the tax should be, because the people who would buy those purchase those services or goods would be more able to pay a higher tax on it. Likewise, other things that people of lesser means, you know, could only afford should have a tax exemption. I'm thinking diapers for kids, you know. But that's just my take on it.
Yeah, well, would that be considered, Senator Jouk, that if it's a luxurious item or service that it should have the sales tax, and if it's not, it shouldn't?
I think that's where I really appreciate the caller's question, because that's the dilemma we get into when we start to pick and choose our favorites. For justified reasons, then you begin to end up with lots of inconsistencies in your tax codes. You don't pay when you go get a haircut. I think sales tax has become part of our economic system, and you naturally include it. If I pay $18 for a haircut, my haircut's going to be $18.40. I'm not going to notice the difference, and yet that is going to provide more revenues to be helpful in meeting basic services in this state. Now, the choice, it's interesting. The choice is, do you, if you have across-the-board cuts, increases, are they going to be fair? Are they going to progressive? Do we include those groups that are currently using the tax codes to avoid their tax responsibilities? In the end, it is my hope that whatever tax revenues we increase, that we can say we have a more fair tax system that shares the responsibility in all citizens paying their burden, rather than just passing it on to callers like Dorothy, who are unfairly taxed because the property tax and the sales tax become most regressive on them.
Yeah, well, we'll have to leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us.
It's kind of you. Thank you.
State Senator Bob Jouk of Poplar, who says that we ought to consider extending the sales tax to services, some of the services at least, that are currently exempt, so we can help bring in money to pay for state services. We'll get another perspective on this idea after we check the latest news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. So, what do we think about all the talk about extending the state's sales tax to services that are currently exempted? Everything from lawyer's fees to veterinary services for pets to haircuts for people. We heard the case for considering the change from State Senator Bob Jouk of Poplar in our last half hour. Now we will get a different perspective. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 6:36 on this Wednesday, December the 10th. We will continue to take your calls with questions and reactions to this idea at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Would you want to pay more for a haircut, pay a sales tax on a haircut, for example, if it meant getting more money for state services? Our next guest is Jeff Shepke. He is Director of Tax and Corporate Policy at Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So what's your position on this idea to eliminate most sales tax exemptions?
Well, you know, I would start by saying we recognize the state is in a sort of a historically difficult spot right now in terms of putting together the budget. But, you know, we've got to be careful when we look at such, significant changes to our tax policy that will have long-term ramifications or potentially have long-term ramifications for some short-term revenue needs. And, you know, it's been said that Wisconsin has a ton of exemptions, and you know, not by Senator Jelk, but others have said we don't tax services, and you know, that's simply not accurate. I think we've got to start by taking a look at our sales tax and what we tax and what we don't tax.
Is there a rhyme or reason to it, Jeff Shepke?
Sure. I mean, the way the tax system is set up basically is, you know, we impose a sales and use tax on tangible personal property unless we specifically have acted to exempt it. We don't tax services unless the legislature has specifically acted to tax it. So when folks talk about the fact that the sales tax system exempts attorney's fees or things like that, it's not really accurate. The legislature never needed to exempt them because they never acted to tax them in the first place. Now, it might sound like parsing words, but I think that's pretty relevant because there's a lot of reasons why states don't want to go down the road of taxing services. And I would say that, you know, first of all, you know, the average state plus the District of Columbia taxes about 57 services. We tax 76 services. So we actually tax more than average. And while I'm not here to defend things like exemptions for bull semen or for clay pigeons or even haircuts, those sorts of things, there are some real concerns about taxing things like accounting fees, computer services, lawyer fees, those sorts of things, because those are really business inputs, particularly for small to medium-sized businesses where most of the growth in the economy is going. And so if you impose taxes there, you've got a pyramiding effect. Tax economists will generally tell you that the best and fairest way to impose a sales tax is at the end sale of a good. And to the extent that you've taxed the inputs to that end sale of good, you've taxed certain goods more than others. And that's really not fair. And again, you have this pyramiding effect that makes those goods and services more expensive. We do have exemptions for things like fuel and electricity and machinery and equipment for manufacturing companies, and on the theory that you don't want to tax those inputs. So to the extent that you're looking at exemptions, you know, I agree with Senator Jelk. I think it's fair to look at everything that's on the table and have a fair discussion about it. But we're very concerned about this from a business perspective because, again, this pyramiding effect. You're making all of those goods and services more expensive, particularly given that we are so heavily dependent upon manufacturing in this state, the second most heavily manufacturing state next only to Indiana.
Yeah. Well, so what would be the consequence or the impact of, say, taxing accounting fees or lawyer's fees? What sort of consequences do you think that would have?
Well, again, I think you're going to see a lot of you really won't see the larger companies, the larger multi-state, because they have a lot of those services in-house. But you will see, you know, small to medium-sized companies that have to go outside of their company to hire accountants, to hire attorneys, to hire computer services, those sorts of things. It'll make that more expensive, and it will make their goods and services more expensive in regional and global markets. And now's I don't think a time where we want to go there. There's a lot of talk about Wisconsin having a low sales tax, and I think there are some groups who argue that it's because our thing is riddled with loopholes or exemptions. And again, I don't think that's fair or accurate. We actually tax more services than the average state. We do have a lower rate than average, and that's a fact. But we tax as many or more things than the average state. So the impact, I think, is going to be it's going to make goods and services for particularly small and medium-sized companies more expensive. The other group that you'll impact is residents, because folks who are going to adopt or who have to hire an accountant to do their taxes or to deal with an estate, when those things are taxed, that will make it more expensive for those folks. So I don't think you're going to get at the big companies so much as you are small to medium-sized businesses and homeowners.
Yeah, maybe I was reading in between the lines, Jeff Shepke, but did I hear you hint that maybe our sales tax overall is not so high? And would it be preferable to just raise the sales tax on the items it already covers rather than extend the current sales tax to those exempted?
Well, we're not prepared to endorse that, but I think given where we are right now, we're going to have discussions about that. And I think what I was saying is, the extent that our sales tax is considered low, and I would say while it is fair to say our sales tax is lower than, say, our income tax or our corporate income tax or our property tax, certainly, it isn't because we exempt things. And I think there's going to be a discussion about that. We're not prepared to endorse that, but there's something to be said for levying broader taxes on more things than narrower taxes on fewer things. And so I think we're going to have that discussion, and we're prepared to have that. We're not prepared to endorse anything at this point. I do agree with Senator Jelk that when he said earlier in his comments today that it's probably a little bit premature to talk about this until we know the extent of the what the budget deficit is actually going to look like. It's 5.4, 4.5, Todd Berry from the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance actually says if you control all, if you keep all spending the same, if you don't increase spending overall, then you're really only looking at a 1.2. So I think we've got to get a handle on it before we talk about tax increases. That being said, I recognize that there's going to be some serious discussions about revenue enhancement.
We are talking with Jeff Shepke. He is Director of Tax and Corporate Policy at Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. And we are wondering what you think about the state legislature possibly considering eliminating the current sales tax exemptions on non-life or death services, keeping the exemption for food and medicine, according to State Senator Bob Jelk of Poplar, who we talked to in our last half hour, but at least consider extending it to most everything else. Our guest this hour says that would not be a good idea. What do you say? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up, here's an idea. Raise the tax on alcohol in Wisconsin to help pay for more state prosecutors. Use that money to hire more assistant DAs. We'll talk with the president of the Wisconsin District Attorneys Association about that idea from his group and about what he calls the prosecutor crisis in Wisconsin coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now we are talking about another tax proposal. Some legislators, in trying to deal with what could be a multi-billion dollar deficit facing the state of Wisconsin, are saying that we should consider eliminating the sales tax exemption that many services now enjoy and that would raise needed money for state services. We are talking with a guest who says that could hurt more than it could help. He is Jeff Shepke, Director of Tax and Corporate Policy at Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. And we have an open line for your questions or your reactions to this idea. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Kim and Mishikat did email saying that the expense of implementing this sales tax to items that are exempt would be too costly to do. Do you have a reaction to that, Jeff Shepke?
Well, I don't have any data on it, but I tend to agree with the assumption that it would be very costly. I mean, you can think that, ad infinitum, the number of services that would be taxed, and so tracking down, folks that haven't been taxed and telling them that they need to collect it, it might be very difficult to do that, but I don't have any data to.
Yeah. It is generally the business that is providing the service that has to collect this tax and then send it to the state.
Sure. Yes. There's laws on the books on how you do that, but you're going to be bringing in a whole bunch of folks that have never done that before, and so at least initially it would probably have some impacts. But again, I don't have any data to try and to back up that. Assumption.
And you may not be the guest to ask this question, but we had a caller who couldn't wait any longer who wanted to know why we don't tax internet purchases. That could raise a lot of money, he said.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a very interesting and somewhat complicated question. There's a long history there, and the sales and use tax in the state actually does apply to internet purchases by law. But the Supreme Court has said, given the complexity of the various different states' tax codes and the difference from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, that the state can't impose its will. So technically, you as the consumer are required to pay it, but the Supreme Court has said that the state can't impose it on the seller of the good or service because of the complexity issues. There's been an effort to try and impose a streamlined sales tax, which would create identical definitions and similar sales tax systems in every state throughout the nation. 20 or some states have imposed that, with the hope that you could get the Supreme Court to agree to allow sales of internet purchases to be taxed by states, or to get Congress to act to codify that. But it's due to the complexities that the Supreme Court has said states can't collect it. But by law, you as the consumer are required to pay that.
To the phones and to Jay in Columbus. Hi, Jay. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. My comment has to do with the fact, I'll cite an example. One of the local politicians was faced with the possibility of the expansion of a casino bringing in millions of extra dollars. And the response was, oh, good, now we can fund some of those programs we had to cut. And my fear of raising any taxes is that it wouldn't be used to pay down the debt. In fact, it would be used to create more debt by funding more programs. Even our own governor is using fuel taxes to fund different parts of the programs, or malpractice taxes. They just have a tendency to grab this money from Robin Peter to pay Paul, and it doesn't fix the problem, it adds to it.
Is that your fear too, Jeff Shepke?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Senator Jouk earlier said that it is probably a good idea to take a look at our entire tax system and consider, what's a fair and appropriate tax system. What should we tax and who should we tax? And I think it's fair to look at the sales tax in that context. But if we do it right now, and we tax these new services. We're doing it for short-term revenue, but that tax is going to be there forever unless we act to sunset it, and that really hasn't ever worked in the past. So, yeah, that's a concern. There's an effort out there called the Wisconsin Way, and they're going to be coming out with a blueprint with some ideas on how you could radically restructure the tax system. And I think that's a really good effort. I think from what I've heard, they're going to throw out some good ideas. And they're going to talk about things, I think, like taxing services. And I think that's a fair discussion. But my fear is doing that right now in the context of the significant budget deficit, you're not really going to make any substantive changes to the tax system. You're only going to increase taxes. And long term, that's going to mean more government spending. And keep in mind, we already are, depending on how you look at it, 10th or 11th highest tax state in the nation, even though our sales tax is about in the bottom third.
Next, we'll go to Nick in Prairie Farm. Hi, Nick.
Good morning. I guess I got a quick comment before I lose cell reception here, but I don't see no talk about reduction in the size of government. The first politician that was on the air from Poplar, he said the citizens need to have a fair burden across the board. Well, it ain't a fair burden to me to pay for services I never use. So that's my comment on the deal. And that's all I got to say, I guess.
All right. Thanks, Nick. Well, there is some talk about certainly cutting spending, isn't there, Jeff Shepke?
Sure. And I would say I've been heartened, and the business community has been heartened by the governor's comments that he will do everything humanly possible to balance the budget without a general tax increase. The question is whether this is a task that a human can do by him or herself. It's a very difficult spot, and I think you're going to see some very, very significant cuts in spending, and certainly those of us who are concerned about our tax burden, our tax rankings, those sorts of things, we won't even begin to have a discussion about revenue until we see some serious things on the table. And I think you're going to see them.
Yeah. Well, we did. Senator Jelk also said that the state faced a similar fiscal crisis in 1983 when he first came to office. And he did mention that back then when there was increases in income and corporate taxes, I believe, at least temporarily, and the hike in the state sales tax occurred during that year, that WMC supported that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was a very different time, I would say two things on that. That decision was very controversial within the membership. I wasn't around. Mm-hmm. I wasn't involved in it, so I don't have the personal experience, but from what I have heard, our membership was very split on that, and that there was a lot of concern that we took that position. The other thing I would note is that the temporary surcharge wasn't temporary. It was imposed for a couple of years, and then it was made permanent. And so, those kinds of temporary fixes are things that our membership is very skeptical of.
Yeah,
and we're willing and we're prepared to sit down and have discussions about how the various pieces of this pie we'll all fit together, and I don't envy the governor or Senator Jelk or the legislature with the task they have before them. We're just saying that revenue shouldn't be your first option. It should be your last option, and when you go there, let's make sure you don't do the kinds of things that that make the recession and the difficult economic times worse in the short term or in the long term, make us a less competitive state.
Next, we go to Ernest in Hayward. Hi, Ernest.
I'm against a sales tax because it's tax on economic effort or work. But if you're going to have a sales tax, why any exemptions? For example, do the majority of the people who buy food need food stamps or the food shelf?
So you're saying put a sales tax on food too,
no,
Ernest?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, well, what's the Jeff Shepke? You wouldn't advocate that, I'm sure.
No, I think that would be a very difficult sell politically for one, and secondly, I think that hits sales tax is already considered a regressive tax in that it taxes the same amount of a purchase regardless of how much income you have, and with food, eating up no pun intended, a significantly larger share of income for low-income folks, I think that would be a pretty unpopular thing, even amongst the wealthier folks in the state.
I think we have time for one more call. Alan in Hartford, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. The thing I don't understand is why politicians immediately look at tax increases when they want to increase revenues. It's been proven time and time again that tax decreases are the way that will increase tax revenues over time. A tax increase may be a short-term kick, but for a long-term income revenue for the state, they should decrease sales tax, they should decrease income tax, and certainly decrease property tax to put the money in the hands of the people and use the multiplier effect of that money, because any tax is a deadweight burden on the people, not businesses.
So that's the way to, I think, to increase tax revenue.
All right, so cut taxes, don't raise them, Jeff Shepke.
Couldn't agree more, and particularly when you're looking at personal income and corporate income taxes, you'll see significant revenue increases, maybe not immediately, but certainly over the long term. You know, the federal government spent itself into a pretty significant budget deficit, but you know, with the Bush tax cuts, you know, and there's going to be a discussion as to whether or not those are rolled back. You saw record increases in revenue over a number of years, and you saw that in the 1980s with the Reagan tax cuts. So you not only have economic theory, but you have history showing that that's true.
Yeah.
But the problem, of course, is the budget deficit is very short term. Those are long term effects. You won't see.
But do you think with less than 30 seconds to go, Jeff Shepke, we can cut our way out of the budget mess we're in?
I think it's going to be awfully difficult. If you look at the budget in a different way and you take out some of the assumptions for increased spending, Todd Berry's analysis is that you're looking at about a $1.2 billion deficit instead of 5.4. That becomes a lot more reasonable.
Yeah.
And so... You know, I would say revenue options are going to be on the table whether we like them or not.
Yeah. Thank you very much for being with us. Jeff Shepke is Director of Tax and Corporate Policy at Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. This is the Ideas Network.